ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमति
नष्टप्रायेषु
भद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवति उत्तम श्लोके
भगवति उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके
कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते
कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते
धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह
धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह
फलं नष्टतृषामेश
फलं नष्टतृषामेश
पुराणार्थोऽधुनोदितः
पुराणार्थोऽधुनोदितः
ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय। This is first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, Questions by the Sages. And today we'll discuss text number 8, right through the verse. Please repeat.
Dekta
Vekta
Kvam
Saumya
Saumya
Tat
Tat
Sarvam
Sarvam
Tatvatah
Tatvatah
Tat
Tat
Anugrahat
Anugrahat
Bruyuh
Bruyuh
Snigdhasya
Snigdhasya
Shishyasya
Shishyasya
Guravah
Guravah
Guhyam
Guhyam
Api
Api
Uta
Uta
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Tatvatastadanugraha
Tatvatastadanugraha
Ruyusnidhasya Shishyasya
Ruyusnidhasya Shishyasya
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Tatvatastadanugraha
Ruyusnidhasya
Shishyasya
Ruyusnidhasya Shishyasya
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Vetatvam Saumyatatsarvam
Tatvatastadanugraha
Tatvatastadanugraha
Ruyusnidhasya Shishyasya
Ruyusnidhasya Shishyasya
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Guruvo Guhyamapyata
Please repeat. Vetta.
Vetta.
You are well conversant.
You are well conversant.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Your honor.
Your honor.
Saumya.
Saumya.
One who is pure and simple.
One who is pure and simple.
Tat.
Tat.
Those.
Those.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
All.
All.
Tatvataham.
Tatvataham.
In fact.
In fact.
Tat.
Tat.
There.
There.
Anugraha.
Anugraha.
By the favor of.
By the favor of.
Bruyuh
Bruyuh
will tell.
Will tell.
Snigdhasya
Snigdhasya
of the one who is submissive.
Of the one who is submissive.
Shishyasya
Shishyasya
of the disciple.
Of the disciple.
Guravaham
Guravaham
the spiritual masters.
The spiritual masters.
Guhyam
Guhyam
secret.
Secret.
Api Uta
Api Uta
endowed with.
Endowed with.
Translation. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Please repeat. And because you are submissive,
and because you are submissive,
your spiritual masters,
your spiritual masters
have endowed you,
have endowed you
with all the favors,
with all the favors
bestowed,
bestowed
upon a gentle disciple.
Upon a gentle disciple.
Therefore,
therefore
you can tell us,
you can tell us
all that you have scientifically learned,
all that you have scientifically learned
from them.
From them.
Report. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master. and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. Anyone know the Sanskrit? We all know. Yasya prasadam, bhagavat prasadam. Yasya prasadam, navidhi kutopi. Chayam stubam stasya yashastri sandhyam, vande guruho shri charanarindam. Therefore, we offer our respectful obeisances to the spiritual master at least thrice daily, trisandhyam. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple. Therefore, he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. Om Jnana Timaranthasya Jnana Janashilakriya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svabarantitam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utakaragamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahakanar Gunatam Vitam Tatsujivam Sadvaitam, Sadhutam, Harijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Gatha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Vedita, Sri Vishakhandatam. He Krishna Purunasindho, Dinabandho, Jagatpate, Opesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate. Tattakan, Chinakaudam, Hira, He Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishadhana Sute Devi, Pranamani, Prakriye. Vamchakautatrutishya, Prakasam Chutayimacha, Patitanam Pavanekyo, Vaishnavekyo, Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurava Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vetatvam Saumyatat Saravam, Tatvatas, Taranugrahat, Vuyu. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed with you all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all what you have scientifically learned from them. This is not a great secret, actually. This is a principle that we find scattered throughout the entire corpus of writings that we've received from Srila Prabhupada. And as his purport suggests, it's not something that he invented also. This is an ancient parampara. Evam parampara praptam, evam raja shri ovidohu ityadi. And tad vidhi parihatena parikrishnaya sevaya. You have to please the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is how you get his favor. That is the only way. So, how did he get the favor of his spiritual masters? Plural, you can note here, Guru-Baba. Many spiritual masters, not just one. Vetatvam Saumyatat Sarvam. Because you are submissive, Saumya, and Shishya, Snigdhasya Shishya. Snigdhasya means Premavata. He has love for his spiritual master. And Somya means you're very gentle, pure and simple, Srila Prabhupada says here. So everything you can learn, Tatvata, in fact. This is another key word here, Tatvata. How many times do we find this throughout the Bhagavad Gita? tatvataha. You have to know it in fact. Because it's one thing to talk about these things. We can learn all these things. It's not so difficult to learn some sort of dogma. And to repeat, it's pretty easy, actually. But tatvataha, what is that tatvataha? It means you have to experience. You have to experience it. Elsewhere in this very same canto, he says, yasvanubhavam akhila shruti saram ekam. The one thing which you'll find throughout all the Vedas described, it is svanubhava. It is something that has to be personally experienced. It's not enough, as we said last time, just to lick the bottle of honey. You have to open it up and actually taste the honey. You can't photograph the honey, you can't touch the honey, you can't smell it, maybe it's a little bit closer, but you have to actually taste it. This is the key. So this is what it means, tatvata. Where does Krishna say this in Bhagavad Gita? Who knows? One verse.
Lanser.
Yes. And I'm thinking of a different verse. Yeah, evam yogeti tattvata. Janma karma cha nityam evam yogeti tattvata. Ityadi. So, to know this in truth means you have to actually experience it. And how do you experience it? You have to do it. The books are there. We like to keep them shrink-wrapped on the shelf. But how are you going to apply the instructions in the Bhagavatam if you're not opening it up and reading it? How are you going to taste the honey unless you actually open it up and taste it? Dara, Shishu, Yudhavaram, Sivaram, Jagannath, Lakshmi, Yudhavaram. So this is the idea. And in order to actually experience this personally and thereby get the direct realization, what kind of realization in chapter 9? Pratyakshavagana. Direct understanding. From experience. It's the same thing. Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha. It's right in front of your eyes. But people can't see it. Because they're not doing it. What does Krishna say in chapter 15 about this? Anybody know the verse? Yatanto yoginashchainam pashyantyatmanyavastitam. And? Yatanto api akritatmanaha. A person who's not following these teachings, that person can't understand them. I used to work with such people in the University of Washington. They knew all these books better than the average ISKCON devotee. Because average ISKCON devotees no longer read. It wasn't always like that. This is a new thing that we have to be very, very careful of. When Prabhupada was here, we didn't read enough. Even Prabhupada used to criticize, we're not reading his books. But they were reading more than they are now. I've seen it. Now we have devotees and they come as a result of social factors, not so much theological. There's no really deep badalna going on. Anyway, so reading the books is also one of these things. In a word, what do you have to be in order to hear and actually experience and thereby realize something? You have to be submissive. When you get the instruction to read, you have to actually do it. Those who do this, they get the result. Those who don't do it, they get something else. This is in the Isha Upanishad, is it not? The wise have described that there's one result from the cultivation of knowledge, and there's another result that comes from the cultivation of nescience. You're cultivating, no matter what you do. What are you cultivating? That you have to be conscious of. Tamal Krishna Goswami used to say, in order to become Krishna conscious, first you have to become conscious at all. We're not conscious. You don't have to be conscious in this world. You don't have to be conscious. Everything will go on. All you have to do is surrender to the modes of material nature instead. And they will impel you and drive you here and there, and everything will go on. That is how the world is actually working. Therefore, he says, prakritehi kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha. Everything is being done by these modes. When we don't surrender to Krishna, then we, by default, automatically, we surrender to the modes of material nature. That is to say, we surrender to Maya. And Maya just drives us on through her various agents, such as the modes of material nature. And we accumulate so much karma, and we take another birth, and another birth after that, and another one after that, and adi, 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 adi. We're never ending. E brahmanda bhamite kono bhagyavan jeev, guru krishna kripa pai bhakti ladabhij. When we're very, very fortunate, after how many thousands of millions of reincarnations in this world, when we finally come in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, that actually can change anything. That can change anything. But we have to be submissive. This is the point. What a great shame it is to come across this process and to be accepted, because a spiritual master doesn't have to accept you as his disciple. This is where the Rikvedics err. It's a one-way deal. They're not giving Prabhupada any choice. But when the spiritual master is pleased, then he can accept us as a disciple. So what a great loss it is, if after coming to Krishna consciousness, being accepted by a bona fide spiritual master, then we are not submissive. You come 99% of the way, like pushing a rock up the hill, and then the boulder runs you over and it goes down again, you have to pick it up and come back again. In Greek mythology, they have this character. What is his name? Sisyphus. He's doomed forever. This is what he has to do forever. He pushes a big boulder up a hill. Finally, when he gets almost to the top, he slips and falls, and the thing runs him over and goes downhill again. Then he has to try and push it all up again. This is what it's like. This material existence is heavy. It's hardcore. Maya plays hardball, they say. A few years ago when I was in Delhi, next to the Delhi temple, there used to be vacant lot. I don't know what's there now. It's filling up fast, like every place else in the world. But some kids were playing ball, and they were playing with a hardball. How do I know? Because suddenly I saw a flash of light and a tremendous pain in my forehead. This ball hit me in the head. It could have done some real damage, I don't know. You'll have to judge. But anyway, this is Maya. Anything like this can happen at any time. Some very heavy things go on in this world. Imagine if you were living in North Korea right now. Does it sound very happy? Or maybe Syria, would you prefer that? In South Central Los Angeles, the criminal gangs are so notorious and so well armed that even the police won't go there. They won't go there. They leave the people to fend for themselves. Or you find out that you have cancer. Last year I lost two of my close relatives to cancer. Within 6 months, two of them died. So these things happen to us. This is padam padam yatri padam natesham. There's danger at every step. What does Shankaracharya say? Nalini dalagata jalamati tarala. Tadvat jivitavata shaya chakaram. This world is actually even more tenuous than a drop of water on a lotus leaf. So we're suffering like this birth after birth, but when Krishna is kind to us, he sends a bona fide spiritual master. And we have to be receptive at that point. Krishna has already done the work. He's done his part. This is love. This is not business. It's not, mechanical sort of, science. It is scientific. Prabhupada says that here. But it's not a mechanical science. In love, who enjoys more? This side or that side? There are two people in love. Who enjoys more? Anybody know? Huh? It's 50-50. They each of them enjoy. We are in the kingdom of love, we are every bit as important as Krishna. That's why he comes to get us when we fall here and stumble life after life after life. The poet Vidyapati put it very nicely. Karma vipake gadagati punah punah. Again and again and again, I'm losing this great opportunity. Mati rahutva parasange. Please, therefore, keep my mind fixed on you. Okay, so we're wandering like this in material existence, and finally, through some great good fortune, we come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. At that time, at that point, we have to do our side. We have to contribute our 50%. What is that 50%? We have to hear submissively. Hearing submissively. What does it mean to be submissive? You don't argue. You don't know better. You don't, you know, rebel in so many ways, gross and subtle. You get the instruction, you humbly follow it. We were discussing this a little while ago. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he was surrounded by people who had this attitude, even though they had no other qualification, but they had this attitude. Gurudas, his disciple Gurudas, they were taking a train from Amritsar to Mumbai, and Prabhupada was talking with a gentleman on the train in Hindi. None of his Western disciples could understand what's going on. So they just noticed that Prabhupada was talking to this man, that's all they know. Finally, Prabhupada turned to Gurudas and said, "This is a nice gentleman from Delhi. He wants you to start a temple in Delhi. So accompany him at the next train stop and go open a temple in Delhi." Gurudas had his whole plan. "I'm going to Mumbai with Prabhupada. I'm going to do this. I'm going." Suddenly, everything has changed like that. So either Maya changes your plans like that when she sends you cancer or an auto accident or worse, or you're ready to surrender to Krishna. But surrendering to Krishna means you surrender to his representative. This is the point. This is literally the last word of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Anybody know the verse? 6:23? Yasya deve tada bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau. The same faith that we place in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, we have to place that faith in spiritual master. Does Krishna make mistakes? Is Krishna imperfect? Do you know better than Krishna? We have to put that faith in the spiritual master. Which means before we take initiation, we have to really know. Not only that I have that faith now, but that in 30 years I will still have that faith. Because I've seen so many people come and go in 4 or 5 decades. So this is our part. We have to be submissive. And also Somya. What does Somya mean? Here Prabhupada says, pure and simple. Anything else? Peaceful. Somya. Like the moon. Soma. What is the difference between the sun and the moon in Ayurveda? Anybody know? The both of them are very uttejak. They're very powerful. But in the sun you get energy, but it's aggressive energy that may burn you if you're not careful. With the moon, it's always very mellow energy. Therefore, they call soma. Soma rasa, you might say. And Krishna talks about this in Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know the words? Soma bhutva rasatmakaha. So, we have the three things. We have the agni, we have the vayu, and soma in Ayurveda. So, soma is always very elevating, always very soft, very... It's the supreme thing, actually. So to be like that, for a disciple to be moon-like in that way, is very, very great qualification, because it allows you, when you are submissive, to hear the truth and to apply that truth, and thereby get the blessings. Snigdhasya shishyasya. All the acharyas are commenting on this. Snigdhasya means you actually have to have love for the spiritual master. Not just respect, not just duty, but real affection. Generally that comes when we really, really appreciate what someone is or what someone has done for us, especially. Then love is there, automatically. So these qualifications have to be there. The sages at Naimisharanya, they saw that these qualifications were there in Shukadeva Goswami. And therefore they knew intuitively, this is the person who can speak to us, because being such a disciple, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadam ityadi, having gone through that process, this person has the realizations. Not just the book knowledge, he's actually deep. He's realized it. This is his personal experience. He can tell you something from his own experience. And that's always, actually that thing stands out. Tathati chete. above all the knowledge and everything else that you can parrot like regurgitate if you study hard enough on a mechanical platform. What really comes out of your heart is the thing that you have realized. And what you have realized comes out of your submissive hearing. What is submissive hearing? Srila Prabhupada said, hearing means acting. You hear it and you do it. I always give this example because Srila Prabhupada gave this example. If I ask you for a glass of water and you bring me a glass of milk, that's not submissive hearing. No, no, milk is better than water. He'll be so pleased. That is called mental speculation. Don't be over-intelligent. Over-intelligence is a bad thing. Monkeys, they're also over-intelligent. There's another story I like to tell. Once we were having a BBT meeting in the MPT, and next to this office where we were meeting, there's a generator building. You know, in North India especially, the government is so corrupt, nobody gets any electricity unless they have their own generator. So suddenly all the lights went out. We heard this boom. Nobody could understand what happened. Somebody looked out the window, and as they opened the curtain, they saw this black, smoldering monkey come stumbling out of the generator building. That's over-intelligent. That is over-intelligent. So when we try to either mischievous intelligence or just too much self-confidence is not a good thing. This is where the Americans always fail. They're too self-confident. So these things will not help us. So the sages, they thought that Shukdev Goswami, he's been submissive, and he's heard, and he's experienced, and therefore he's got realizations, and they're not his realizations. Those realizations are coming by divine grace. They're coming from his spiritual master. This is the real point. Otherwise, all you have to do is persevere in Krishna consciousness for a few decades, and then people start to think that you're a spiritual master. People will surrender to you, they'll give you money, they'll become your followers, so many things. And if you think, yes, this is me, and finished. Those are the people who fall. Those are the ones who fall. But the ones who recognize on a deep level that everything is being affected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I got no say in this. All I can do is try to submissively hear and accept and represent. Then those people can do. Therefore, he says, bona fide spiritual master here. So they thought, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this person has been really submissive. It's not that he goes and hears from everybody and repeats anything, or has his own ideas and repeats those things in the name of his spiritual master. That's another nonsense. Swamatam, he says, not that he does like that either. He hears the spiritual master submissively, he follows that instruction, by the spiritual master's being pleased, he gets the realizations, then he can speak. Because it's deep in the heart, it will automatically come out. He doesn't have to work at it. He has become that thing. By divine grace. So, it is essential, therefore, Prabhupada writes, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive. In the beginning, there is obedience. We are not submissive. The mind is rebellious, at least. Sometimes even the body is also rebellious. We're not submissive. But by obedience, then we slowly we can become trained. Even nowadays, the parents neglect their responsibility to train the children with good samskaras. So even when you're an adult, you have to train yourself because your parents didn't do so. Especially in the Western world, there's no training at all. So obedient and then submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Because not every spiritual master is bona fide. This is another thing. Actually, to be a bona fide spiritual master means only to be a bona fide disciple. 100%. As soon as you become 100% bona fide disciple, you have become guru. Because that's what it means to be a guru. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's only acting like a devotee because he's teaching. What does it mean to be a devotee? Then we know. So Shukdev,
Suti Goswami, sorry.
He fulfilled all these qualifications, therefore he was endowed with all favors. And the sages were confident. Therefore they were anxious to hear from him. Jai Jagannath. We don't want to hear from anybody else, we want to hear from you because you are glorified. Just like my godbrother, Gopi Puranabhana, he was such a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And I was talking about his work in general with another godbrother, one sannyasi. So the sannyasi told me, he said, whatever Gopi writes, he said, you know there's no spin. You understand what spin means? Do you have this word in Indian English? Spin means you put your own, you tweak and twangle it. You understand this, no? In other words, transparent. Whatever he's giving is only what he's got. He's not putting any kind of, he's not coloring it in any way, adulterating it in any way. This is the point. So as soon as we become 100% submissive, then immediately we become guru. That's what it means. You can actually Krishna Vande Jagat Guru. There's only one guru and that's Krishna. When we say guru is one, that's what we mean. Actually guru is Krishna. But to the extent that we submit to him through his agents, especially our own personal spiritual master, that is what it means to be transparent. Transparent via media, we say. Just like metal can conduct electricity. The metal cannot produce electricity on its own, but when it is in contact with a live current, it can conduct that electricity. We can become like that. This is the point. All right. So because you're submissive, your spiritual master has endowed you with all favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple, therefore you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Anybody have any questions or any comments?
Two questions now. First one is...
Speak loudly.
Yeah. In today's world, pariprashna to the spiritual master is always not possible.
Yeah.
Having a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So, because probably there are too many people in the moment or too many disciples to a spiritual master, and then what it is. And also I'm sure many of Srila Prabhupada disciples, they never spoke to him.
Yeah.
Even one time.
I'm one of them.
So then how do we understand pariprashna? It becomes, they hear a lecture, maybe recorded later.
Prabhupada said, I'm living it forever in my books. You open the books, you have an association with Prabhupada. Of course, for practical guidance, this is the thing. Ashinotitu Shastrartha Nityadi. The Acharya generally guides his disciples, and it is possible to get that kind of guidance from your spiritual master, but not if your spiritual master has too many disciples. In my opinion, for what it's worth, the spiritual masters have to actually follow that injunction not to accept too many disciples. More than they can adequately guide. It's kind of like putting so much on your plate that you can't possibly digest it. It's going to be a problem, one way or the other. Sure, it's great if you can do that, but practically we see that people are dissatisfied. They don't feel they have guidance. So your question is very good. So, but we should understand that in principle, it is always possible to follow these injunctions. Why people don't do it, ask them. So what do we do given that this is the circumstance? We have this, the spiritual master has this twofold aspect of the Babu Devani. I mentioned that already. Also the spiritual master, even if we're talking about Babu, there's the Diksha Guru and there's also the Shiksha Guru. Shiksha Guru, you can have any number. But the principle there is that you have to have faith in that person. And quite often we find that actually the problem is that we don't really have faith. We really don't. So that's why the material nature is so arranged that we get smashed regularly, on a regular basis. Nitya. we get smashed. And then gradually, after so much experience, if we're hearing, and only if we're hearing, then we actually say, you know, maybe what I'm hearing is actually true after all. Maybe I really don't know anything. Maybe I really should surrender to the person who's obviously more accomplished than I am, more respected than I am, more following more closely than I am. This is what we have to undergo, this process. Therefore, it's called Shastra, Shastadhu. We have to be beat over the head with this knowledge. And that doesn't happen unless we're actually accepting it. We're hearing. We're not hearing. Then even you do the wrong thing, even you get smashed for it, and have to undergo the reaction, you never wake up to at any point during the process. A person can go to hell and not even know it. That is the nature of tamoguna. So, I mentioned this the other day at BIS, when in response to Vedanta Chaitanya's question. How do we establish on a practical social level this level of submission? I told him what one thing that I would suggest, which I gleaned from Srila Prabhupada's books, that samskaras in general, and in particular Garbhadhan samskar, these things are very, very important, because Janmana jayate shudra. Everybody by default is a shudra. If you're born, you're born a shudra. Kalau shudra sambhava. But by samskara, we become at least twice born. That means you're like a novitiate human being. Probate human status. Veda parhat bhavet vipra. By study of Srila Prabhupada's books, you can become a vipra pandit. But only when you actually experience Brahman, experience what these books are talking about, then you can be called a Brahman. This is the thing. So, the culture is in itself ennobling. It elevates us. Just like upstairs, so many people are coming yesterday for Vaikunth Ekadashi. And they're offering their thing, and they want to just, they're not even thinking about it. Half of them are empty-headed when they're doing it, but they're doing it. And they get the benefit for that. It's a lot better than New York City or Los Angeles, when people turn on the television first thing in the morning, sometimes without even bathing. It's a completely unregulated, animalistic existence. It's possible in the human form of life, as I said in the beginning. You just be unsubmissive and let the modes take over, and that's where you're going. Now there's a Telugu invasion. Where are they coming from?
Garland.
Okay. Garland. Okay. One time, Hanumat Preshak Swami told me a very interesting story. This is when he was a very young devotee. He has a little bit of a mischievous streak in him. So he was the pujari in the temple, and the person giving the class was on the other side of the curtain. So he's looking at this person, and there were some grapes offered to the deity. You know this? Did I show you this? So he took the grape and he threw it at the speaker. And the speaker's looking around trying to figure out what's going on. And he couldn't figure it out, so then he took another grape and he rolled it across the temple room floor right in front of the piazza. So these flowers are falling off the garland, now I understand. I thought somebody was trying to give me a message or something. So where was I now?
Practical submissiveness.
Yeah, I mean the point is that we apply this knowledge or these principles on a practical level and on a social level, and that elevates you. And that's the great fortune of taking birth here in India. You all have that great fortune. I didn't have such an advantage. And I'm still working against the odds to try to come up to that level. So we should appreciate the good fortune. But generally that doesn't happen until we come in contact with a pure devotee. Because his realization allows us to understand what everything that's going on. Other than that, we can't see it. Even it's right in front of us, like I said, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, but you don't wake up until the pure devotee activates that knowledge. And that happens through submissive service, by pleasing him somehow or other. I never got any personal association or any direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada. I only saw him. I only approached him personally once, and that was to offer him some flowers. So many, many people have more association than I did. But as I said in the beginning, Prabhupada's books are here, and the instruction is there for us to read, and you will develop a very close relationship with Prabhupada by doing so, if you follow the instructions, if you're submissive. We don't challenge, nowadays the mood is to challenge, even people are challenging Prabhupada also. So, you know, we don't do that. That will not gain us the blessings. That will not allow us to see the thing in tattvata, in reality. It will not enable us to experience these truths deeply enough that we can benefit even ourselves, what to speak with anyone else. So, does that answer the first part of your question? You said you had two questions.
The second one is that we are living in a society with multi-guru system. There are different gurus. And often, on a particular stand, like, you know, we may have Siksha Guru, the multiple Siksha Guru, some Diksha Guru, a temple president, and local authority. Everybody takes a different stand. In that process, it is very, very difficult to, like, you know, to together do something in the society. It's becoming very difficult.
Cooperation.
Because if we follow, for example, when I was in America, someone wanted me not to leave America, I should continue. And other guru wanted me to leave America and come to India. And temple person wanted me to do something. I'm sure if I do anything, other people are naturally not happy with me. So when they are not happy, what is my status?
Very rich question. Many, many nuances that can be explored in this question. First of all, you cannot always please everyone. This American president, Abraham Lincoln, he said, you can please some people all the time, and you can please all people sometimes, but you can't please all the people all the time. That never happens. Somebody is going to be dissatisfied. There's a story Prabhupada tells about this. An older man and his son were taking a camel with a load of things to the market. So the man is driving the camel and the son is on the back in the cart. And somebody, he sees somebody on the road, they're pointing out, look, these people, they're both sitting there. You know, this boy is so inconsiderate, he's making his father drive as an extra weight putting on for his father, he should get off. So they stopped and the son was walking alongside. Then somebody else says, look, this man is making his boy walk, he could be sitting on the camel, why is he doing this? So he didn't know what to do. So then the boy is driving, the man's sitting, and no matter what they did, it's still a problem, because somebody's always going to criticize you. You may be a mega superstar guru, and you're going to be criticized. And you may be completely unknown, and you're still going to be criticized. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's one thing. But then another thing is that we have a taratanya, you could say, of authorities. There's a political authority. There is a, you know, within certain realms of dharma, this is the idea, that within the family there's an authority structure that should be followed. There's political superstructures there. There's government, legal authorities we have to mind, and all different relationships. Shakale shaman kurite shakte. Dehanata jatachata. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, please teach me, my dear spiritual master, how to give adequate respect to everyone, each according to his own station. Giving respect to everyone doesn't mean you give the same respect to everyone. It's not like that, because not everybody is the same. You have to recognize duality is real. But there is a system of giving respect, and I'll get back to that in a moment. On a spiritual level, I would say, wherever your faith resides, and you should definitely be in touch with your faith to know that, who do you really have faith in spiritually, that is the authority that you have to prioritize. And because that person is your de facto guru, he may be your Diksha Guru or your Shiksha Guru, but here I'll make a note that generally Prabhupada, as far as Prabhupada's books go, if we want to recognize Srila Prabhupada's books, then we should take note of this. Srila Prabhupada's books emphasize only one guru, and that is the Diksha Guru, and that Diksha Guru is also the Shiksha Guru. That is the ideal system. If it doesn't always work, our system accommodates. If you get permission and blessings, here's the word is used here, sincere blessings of your Diksha Guru, then you can hear from someone else as well, Shiksha Guru. But the blessings have to be there. This is the point. Permission. That's what it means to be submissive. So that's another thing. Now, back to the point that I was making about social taratamya. In 1977, I remember Srila Prabhupada gave two instructions that are very prominent, at least in my mind, because they stuck in my mind when I heard them. Some people say these are Srila Prabhupada's final instructions. That's how I remember it. One, Srila Prabhupada said you should cooperate and maintain the society as I have established it. And then the second instruction he gave was that you should implement Varnashram Dharma within ISKCON. I don't see those instructions as being separate. They're very closely related. Why? Because if you want to cooperate, you have to have some ground rules. It has to be clear who stands where, who's the superior, who's the inferior, who's giving the instruction, who's receiving the instruction. Everything has to be very clear about that, otherwise it becomes chaos, which is what you're talking about. ISKCON in 2018 is not really much less fractious than was the Gaudiya Math in 1937. Politically, maybe legally, we have some harmony, but there's all kinds of ideas and all kinds of ideals as well. So it's true, it's hard for people to get along. But if we have some objective ground rules that everyone agrees we have to follow this, then that helps as much as can be. And that is where Varnashram Dharma comes in. I think that, like many other aspects of our philosophy, Srila Prabhupada's conception of Varnashram Dharma was not limited. Just like his conception of kirtan is not just playing musical instruments in a temple. He saw radio broadcasts, internet, blogs, if you will, nowadays. This kind of thing Srila Prabhupada also recognizes kirtan. And similarly, his conception of Varnashram, it seems to me, was much more comprehensive than ours. So, but the point that I'm making here is that Varnashram Dharma, by which I really mean more of a sadharana dharma, because the Western mind has no conception of dharma, what to speak of this or that kind of dharma. They need any conception of dharma to start with. Once we have that, then immediately, we have some framework within which we can operate and cooperate. Operate means cooperate. So those two instructions are very, I think they're closely related. If we follow that instruction about establishing dharma very seriously, then I think a lot of the strife and the disharmony that we feel will at least be tamed, if not eradicated. Is that okay? That's my view on it, but I'm just a conditioned soul. Any other questions? Yeah.
When I the two points in this, obedient and submissiveness, the point like I understood.
Because one is the evidence of the other. If you are obedient, you are submissive.
And what I understood more times when I introspect from myself that I seems to be selective obedient.
Yeah, that's right.
So when I further introspect what is lacking to be complete obedient, I see that I don't have faith.
Yeah, always it comes down to this, always. It's only one problem ever, faith.
And when I further introspect, like why it is lacking, then I see that why the faith is lacking means sometimes it happens that wherever we see the people, they say so many things, but they really don't follow.
You see bad examples.
Not always.
But it works both ways. Faith is destroyed by bad association, but faith is created by good association. So all you have to do is put yourself into good association and your faith will be nourished. Or you can take the direct path. You apply the instructions even if you don't have faith, and then the faith will be created because you get the result. In that sense, it's a mechanical science. In that limited logic, I mean to say. You understand my point? Just like we say, Jamal Krishna Goswami used to do this. He probably made more devotees in ISKCON than anyone else before or since through his personal direct preaching. He used to tell people, you try this process for 1 month. 1 month out of your life you can give up. You just go 100% for 1 month and you see at the end of the month how you feel. He would convince people like this. He would baby spoon feed them, no, cajole them in this way to try to put themselves forward or to submit to the instructions, even if their faith was very weak. And invariably, those people, they tended to stay. They tended to join. Because if you follow the process, whether you have faith or not, if you do it, you will get the faith. So faith is destroyed by bad association. That just means that our association is not as good as it can be. We have to improve our association, satsanga. It is 90% of our advancement, Prabhupada said. And that works in both ways. If our association is bad, then 90% that's going to be the influence, you see? And if our association is good, then it will carry us up. Now, if we are not completely inspired in the association that we have, then there are three things that we can do about it. I've said this before. You can find the association that you need, because in today's interconnected, you know, we don't just have IoT, we have IOP as well. Internet of people. Practically speaking, people are wired as well. I mean, you can get the association, it's available. So that's the best thing, actually. Or actually, the best thing is you learn how to better appreciate the association that you already have, because that requires an internal purification. And it demands a little bit more submission if we submit. But we can actually find the great gems in the heart of any devotee, even the ones we don't like. They have these gems in their hearts. Otherwise, they would not be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, that's really the best thing. We learn how to better appreciate, because it can be done, almost always. If that doesn't work, then you find the association. And finally, as a last resort, we have the example of Srila Prabhupada. What did he do? He created the association. That's not so easy to do. That requires some capital to invest, so to speak, spiritual capital. But it can be done. Prabhupada did it. He showed. Even if you're working with monkeys like Ramchandra, look what he did. In such a short span of time, he did more than any previous acharya. And working with the worst possible, you know. So faith is directly related to our association, it's a fact. Another thing that can produce faith, Haridas Thakur says, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is why we go out on Nagar Sankirtana. The people don't have faith, but by this hearing the holy name, their faith is developed. And the same thing works with us as well. When we become absorbed in the kirtan, then we find that our faith is strengthened. Is that answering your question, or is there something more?
Yeah, the question. Second question. Most of the time, like, Prabhupada says that ISKCON is my body, and get cooperated with ISKCON. So what exactly you mean by that? It's following the principles of ISKCON, what Prabhupada told, or it is the physical entity
that... This is something that people will argue about, I think. It is, you know, it's a pretty, you know, blanket statements are always a little bit hard to quantify. So, you know, somebody says that the institution Prabhupada's talking about here is that the managers tend to be on this side. You know, and the, you know, they kind of the theorists, the Brahmins, they tend to be on the sadhana side, and you know, it's every religious institution has this problem. You have to figure out what does it mean to be a member. Shivananda Swami wrote a paper about this maybe 10 years ago, even now. You know, we don't really know what does it mean to be a member of this one. So somebody who's only taken initiation, what about our loyal congregation? Somebody's in the congregation for 30 years, worshiping Prabhupada every day. He's not a member. As he says, it's hard to say. Krishna says, leave it open. Don't worry too much about it. Is that going to help? You sure? I mean, you know, look at it this way, spiritually. If in your heart you're accepting Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and you're making an effort to follow them and practically implement them in your life, then why not you're a member of this kind? Sometimes they kick people out, even undeservedly. Dhanurdhar Swami was one of them, in my opinion. Others as well. But Prabhupada never did that. Only one disciple I know that Prabhupada rejected, and that's because he rejected Prabhupada first. In a most offensive manner also. And even then Prabhupada was thinking about the rest of us. To save us from his contamination, he had to get rid of him. This is in accordance with the Paramashastra. What is that? Chanakya says also, in order to save the country, one village may have to be cut out. In order to save the village, one family. In order to save the family, one member. But in order to save the Atma, the self, everything has to be rejected. So, is that helpful? Okay, anything else?
So now we regularly hear that we should surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Mm-hmm. But here, nowadays in today's world, we see that on the name of religion, there are so many institutions, there are so many gurus also. And everyone has their own way of convincing people.
Yes.
So today, because someone preached me about Krishna consciousness from his form, so I am sitting here. That day some other person from some other institution had come to me, so I was alone sitting there. So how to understand that who is their bona fide spiritual master?
John Lennon asked a question like this to Srila Prabhupada, famous musician, 50 years ago. He and his wife were talking to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you know, we've heard so many spiritual masters, Maharishi says this, and you're saying that, and the other one says that. How do we know? Prabhupada used to deal with this question in a very straightforward and simple manner. He said, just go to Krishna. Just go directly to Bhagavad Gita and see what Krishna says. Just listen to what Krishna says. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you do that thing. Then you know you'll not be wrong. If you follow the Shastra, then you'll not be wrong. So Krishna says in Shastra, what are the qualifications of a bona fide guru? What are some of them? Who knows? Somebody tell me. What does Krishna say about this? Huh?
Instruction.
When a person gives up all manner of sense gratification, and he's finding pleasure only in the self, he's surrendered to me. These qualifications are given, and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam they're found. These are the major Vedic literatures. You don't need to go to other sources. Everyone accepts Bhagavad Gita, even the impersonalists, the Shaktas, you name it. Anybody will respect Bhagavad Gita, so just listen to what Krishna says. But that Bhagavad Gita tells us how to understand Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Evam Parampara Prapta. I mentioned. And Tadvidhi Pranipatina, I also mentioned. So then you have to understand what Krishna says according to that standard. And then you follow that standard and then you get Prabhupada's bhakti on to purpose. So that brings us here, doesn't it? So we're situated in the most healthy condition. And it's based entirely on what Krishna has told us. Nothing else. Is it clear? Yes.
So again, they might come to the platform of the Krishna as the supreme person. They start with the platform of Brahma knowledge.
But Krishna himself says that in Bhagavad Gita. So how do they explain that? Matta paratanam nanya kinchidasti. Krishna says this. There's nothing better than me. He says it directly. How do you ignore that? Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji ma namaskru. Twice. How do you work around that? You have to ask these people who are misinterpreting. The people who have their own interpreting, they have to deal with these quotes because Krishna said it. We're not saying it. Manushintanam ashritam. Muha. Krishna himself is using these terms. Not us. People think ISKCON, you people are fanatic, you're only Krishna, and you're so critical of everybody else. This is transparency. An honest person, someone with integrity, will just repeat what he has heard. In the old days, they used to have these messengers. They would bring bad news to a king in another kingdom. And sometimes the king would be so angry hearing this bad news that he would kill the messenger. You see? So we're just repeating what Krishna says. We're not inventing anything. And if they have another interpretation, fine. But they've got to interpret this also. Maharishi's Bhagavad Gita only went up to chapter 6 because he didn't like what Krishna said after that. This is the problem. Or, you know, they don't like what the Bhagavatam says, so they invent some Devi Bhagavat instead. And say that that's the real thing. This is the problem. You just be honest and accept what Krishna says. But people are not willing to do that. I'm sorry to say. It's entirely based on the text of the Bhagavad Gita itself. It's not just a question of, you know, sectarian interpretation. People want you to think like that because any thief likes to operate under cover of darkness. So they want to keep things vague. Like you were saying, that particular group of individuals, they don't want to recognize Shri Radharani because they've got a party position to protect. So they like to keep everything vague. This is what it means to be a cheater. And Prabhupada, he did not hesitate to say this is cheating. That's why they don't like it. Everybody will be happy if you say, oh, yeah, you can go on, you know, Sneha Fresh Chicken and also Bhajan and, you know, everybody got me. This is the problem. But if you hear what Krishna says, Krishna is saying something very consistent and very clear. And it's not really open to a lot of interpretation because it's not unambiguous. It's not ambiguous. What Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita directly is entirely unambiguous. Very clear. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanishchasmi tatvataha ityadi. So how many places do we have to hear it? He says the same things over and over again throughout Bhagavad Gita. Many things he says at least half a dozen times in different ways. It's not a question of interpreting. But even if you do want to interpret, okay, but do so in a bona fide parampara. This is another thing they neglect. They invent their own interpretation just out of whole cloth. That is not the system that he talks about in Bhagavad Gita. If you're going to follow Bhagavad Gita and you're going to understand according to some interpretation, then do it the way Krishna says in the Gita. Right? Is that satisfactory? Anything else? I like outside programs because you know, people really have these doubts. Here we're all devotees more or less, but you know, when you can deal with somebody, then you know, finally they wake up and get it. And they understand. Alright, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. I'll close to Srila Prabhupada.